You're listening to Short Track America with co-hosts Bill Green and Jack Smith.
I'm not going to run the commercials.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bitlow Summit, live on Karnak.com and Short Track America. We are bringing you what we hope to be an informative evening of chat and discussion. Oh, God. I know it's not going to work out that way, but what the heck.
Get a grip, Bill.
I know. We opened up a little early tonight. We were going to go 8 to 10, but we wanted to come in at 7:30 and let you know who the guys are that are going to be...
They're participants.
Voicing the opinion of the fan. You guys all know that our two gentlemen that are going to help us out from the promoter side will be Rusty from Orlando Speed World and, of course, Don Nerone himself. Now they're here. They're having a bite to eat right now, and they're leaving us alone to introduce you to Rick Williamson and Jerry Biner. Hi, guys. Okay, straighten me out on the air. Turn your microphone on and talk to me. Everything you say has to be on the air.
Okay, it's actually pronounced Binner, to tell you the truth.
Binner. Biner.
Yes.
Binner. Okay.
It's like I said.
Jerry Binner.
Jerry Spin Binner. Binner.
That's okay, right. I forgot that part. And Rick Williamson. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, just keep it there. You'll always be a delay getting to here. Anyway, these guys have come on, and you all know them online at times, and I'm not sure if Jerry is well-known online. Do you have a screen name that people would recognize?
I just use my own name.
Okay, so
he actually uses his real name.
Well, that's confusing right there.
Yeah, confusing, isn't it?
So, Jerry is known as Fasson 118, and we actually found out where the Fasson came from the other day. I saw it on the message board.
Which is what?
From an old driver. You used to be picked it from a driver, I think.
Yeah, Joe Fasson was a NASCAR racer in the late 60s, early 70s. And
so it's Fasson?
Fasson is actually how it's pronounced.
Not Fasson, okay.
It doesn't matter to me. It's his last name.
French. Okay. It's French.
It's French for go fast? I'm just kidding. Anyway, you guys have been proponents and naysayers and everything else on the message board, just coming up with your ideas and what's going on in the world of racing. So we wanted to get together with some of the promoters and kind of bat our heads a little bit and kind of do a brainstorm thing to where we got a chance to talk to you, the race fan, from the fan standpoint. Now, I believe, Jerry, you're also involved in racing in other ways. You've got family members who race. Is that not correct?
Rick does.
Oh, sorry. The other way. Rick.
Yes.
Has family and stuff like that.
Yes, that's how I'm involved.
See, that's confusing because they're on here this way, but they're over there.
So tell us a little bit, Rick, about your racing background, your experience in the sport of stock car racing, past and present.
I got into it back in 1991 when my brother started racing at the old Lakeland racetrack, which is a quarter mile, and he went out there to a fan participation race and got into it and loved it, and then got into the four-cylinder bombers for a couple of years. So I went out there as a fan and would watch him. And finally, when we switched over to Urbandale, because the old track closed down as they were building USA, we went to Urbandale, and his wife said, well, why don't you go back there and try in the pit, because they could use some help anyway. So I did, and I've been that way ever since.
What the rest of the family that was racing, are their names Williamson also?
Yes.
Okay, because do you remember a guy who worked the track at Auburndale that had a black and white striped shirt on that was one of the guys down in the corners? Used to do lineups and stuff. He worked turn 3 and 4. That was in 93. Let me see, I retired 93, 94, 95.
No, because we didn't start there till 95.
Okay, so you probably just
missed him. I probably would have just missed him.
Okay, no problem. That was me. Yeah, they just missed me. Sorry, Don, I had you turned down there, buddy.
Barry.
Yeah.
And Will Cagle.
And, oh, God. All kinds of fun stuff. And actually, Don ran that track at that time when you were racing there then. He was part of that. I don't know. Don, were you like partners with the Martinos, or what was the deal? Or did they have you just general manager?
I was looking there and said MJN.
Okay.
Martino, Jones, and Nerone.
Okay.
And the Little Lakeland track I actually built with my two hands.
Okay. So he was there. He ran that track at the time your guys were racing. I realized that, too. And then back on the other side, Jerry, have you had any racing experience, or is it just strictly fan stuff?
Well, mainly it's been fan stuff. When I was younger, a teenager, my parents owned some race cars up in New York State. And, it helped out a little bit back there. But when they got out of the sport as owners, I stayed in it as a fan, and nothing's slowed me down yet.
Did you see a big difference when you came from north to south, so to speak? Did you see a big difference?
Well, I did see a big difference, and it was mainly because of the types of cars. I grew up on dirt modified racing, the late model class, which down here would be more considered like a sportsman type of car. But no asphalt late models as you know them down here. Very few mini stocks. You didn't see mini stocks around very much. Sprint cars were just starting to catch on there, but they would run a couple times a year at the local tracks, and I knew what to expect there. But so when I got to Florida, I really didn't have anything that I identified with other than names and tracks out of my past and stuff like the, you know, the Rudimans and Will Cagle and guys like that that ran both series up north and down here. So I'd kind of follow what they were doing all winter in Florida and then see them race up north all summer.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, now, when you came south and started to see these other racetracks and other places and things, what did you think? Did you see shows that went kind of like you'd seen up north? They were, you know, moving things along and five or six different classes a night, that kind of thing? Or were there different big differences that you noticed?
Well, the biggest difference I noticed was we were used to two classes, maybe three classes at each show. And down here there was, at the time, more about four, which was more than I was used to. And then it added a division here and added one there. But the it didn't seem to get closer to what I was used to. It got a little farther from what I was used to.
Has that been the same in your situation, Rick, in doing the situation where did you do any racing outside of the state of Florida before your family got into it or went to the races or anything else?
The only time I've ever been to a race before that was when my parents and my brother and I were up in North Carolina in the early 60s. There was a clay track up there, and we went to a race one time, and that was the extent of it.
Well, so your preconception, so to speak, whatever you saw in Florida was what you saw, and you didn't know
Correct. Any
and difference up north.
Either Lakeland or Auburndale up until 3 years ago when the series, Southern Sportsman Series, started up.
Okay.
Hadn't been to any but those two tracks till that point.
Okay, so Auburndale and Lakeland were the only things you knew and kind of went to because it was close and that's where you went. What did you think when you started going to the Orlandos, the Ocalas, the whatevers?
I enjoyed it. That's not really correct. We did start going to DeSoto a little bit, so that was a bigger track for us the last half of the season just before the series started. But to go around these different tracks, to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed in the crowds. The cars were pretty, you know, as far as the series or the numbers for all the different classes and stuff, but the fans, I was really surprised that the stands weren't packed everywhere. But they're very enthusiastic. And we enjoy going to the different tracks. It's a challenge to learn the track, you know, gears, those kinds of things. So David and Aaron would always, the first year, go ahead of the rest of them. Several of them would go together and would go the week before and would practice, get the gears down as close as they could before the race. And that would help out, and it kind of got you used to the track. But now that we're 3 years into it, we went to New Smyrna for the first time since we'd been there since 2003.
That's cool. I know going back to tracks always helps when you're a racer because you've been there once, you got an idea of what's going on, even if you can't hit that setup right the next time around. It takes a couple of times going sometimes. But some of the things that we want to talk about tonight, of course, are there's five major points I believe we're going to get into, one of those being car counts in the pits.
Correct.
One of those being fans in the stands, how to get them and keep them and so forth. Another one being the actual payouts, how much people are getting paid. And if you've been racing or been in the racing game, you know what they were making back in, I guess, 97 or 8, whenever you started, and you know what they're making now to win races. Same thing with the situation in the promotions and marketing of races, and they're two separate things. We realize that you can advertise on the radio, or you can take a bunch of race cars down to the local drive-in and have them on show, and that's promotion versus advertising. So those are some of the points we want to make. What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? Even yourselves and the guys that are the running of the tracks, already kind of know what's basically wrong, but how to fix it and how to make it better, or how to make it, when people talk about the good old days in the 60s or 70s when you used to go to like a Sunshine Speedway or a Golden Gate Speedway and you had 3,500 people every night no matter what, versus now you're kind of lucky if you see 1,000 to 1,500 some nights at most tracks, it seems, on the average, I bet. But those kind of things. And we're always up against the international entertainment dollar. We've talked about that before, and we'll go through it again, I'm sure. Oh, no, hang on, I can pick up. Wait a minute. Hey, you're on the air. What's up? Oh, they hung up on me already. Sorry, I didn't realize that one was ringing. You guys got to let me know. Jane, you're going to have to give me a bigger high sign, like telephone or something.
Hey, your phone was ringing.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was a cell phone going off in the corner because I got a set of earphones on, so no problem. If you want to call us, go ahead and give us a shout. You know what the number is. It's on the Internet. I'm not even sure what it is because Jane could tell me again, and then I'll go repeat it. 407-568-1367. She'll write that down on a big piece of paper, I bet, and hold it up for me sooner or later, tape it to the wall. But, yeah, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to talk, and you can talk to these two gentlemen before we get into the main bulk of the show at 8 o'clock. We'll kick it off with all the promoters and the fans versus each other. It's not really versus each other, though. I don't know who came up with that versus thing. But the Bithlo Summit should be just that. You sit down and you talk about what you're thinking and what's going on.
Well, I think each one of us are all only interested here in getting racing. You'll never get it back to what it was, but at least keeping it so that we're not losing another racetrack each year and seeing more fans, letting the people know that have never been to a race before what's going on and to enjoy it. You know, there's more than just going out to NASCAR at your local TV on your in your house. That's not racing.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, caller, you're on the air. Hello? Where's my caller? Got mine, John?
There's a slight technical difficulty here.
No. Now, I got a caller that called, but I can't seem to get him up on the... can you hear me at all? Because I'm not hearing you talk back to me. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. Talk to me. Can you hear me?
No.
Okay, well then, I'm not sure why, but we'll try something else. How about that? Can you hear me now? Is it getting any better? Apparently not. Are you there, caller? I'm going to. Sorry. Was that you? Okay. Yeah, they couldn't hear me, and I would thought everything was fine, and it was peaking correctly.
That's right.
Our phone That's is right. Working correctly, so it was something on their end. They weren't listening correctly. If you're on speakerphone, turn it off when you call us, because that's one of your problems. It'll feed right back to you, and then it won't work right.
And you better have a good question, because we ain't going to mess with you.
That's right. Don't give me these junky things about, how can we fix New Smyrna? I mean, that's a general question that we want to get specific. Tell me, if you don't like the bathroom, then tell me, you know, you got a bathroom problem. We'll work on that one. But, I mean, I can't do these generalities things.
You probably got me turned off over here.
No, I got you turned down a little bit.
You got me turned off, so I can't speak at all.
No, no, you're up. Go ahead.
It's out the bathrooms. Will you go somewhere else?
No, I understand.
We learned something from the last time we did this.
Best bathrooms in racing? Albany, Georgia.
The best bathroom, well, yeah. It's
brand Albany, new. Georgia. Brand new bathroom with an air conditioner in it.
I think probably the best I think I've ever seen. Go racetrack in...
Hey, caller, Carolina, when you're going to go across the line, what's the name of it?
Hang on. Caller, are you there?
Speedway and air condition.
Caller, are you there? They're not there.
Why is it there?
Hey, now we're getting somewhere. Something's feeding back from his microphone. Now it's...
No.
You're not supposed to speak? I've been turned off.
What are you telling her to do?
Yeah,
unplug it?
They turned me off.
We'll be getting calls all through this program.
Yep.
Oh, plug it in later? Okay, phone calls are going to be held until 9:30. Hold your phone calls until 9:30.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Florida Stock Car.
Hey, Bill. No, when I turned on the phone, you were bleeding into the phone line. I couldn't hear anything.
Bill, people should go to the Florida Stock Car Racing message board, put a post on with their question. Jane Smith is monitoring the board, and she will give the questions to us, and we'll
Yeah, sometime
ask
around
them if they're relevant.
Yeah, sometime around 9, 9:15, we'll start doing some of those questions. We'll start taking phone calls and all that kind of stuff
make
along
sure you,
there too.
Make sure you put who you want to answer the question also.
Oh, well, that could be a good point, or they can just ask a general question. We'll just have anybody answer it. I need to put name tags on these two guys because I'm backwards over here. But anyway, we've almost killed off our 30 minutes, but I know that I wanted to make sure people realized who Jerry and
hey Bill,
and Rick
hey Bill,
were.
What's half of 30?
That's. I mean, I know we're 20 minutes in. I realize.
15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've done 15. So now one thing
well,
that we need one thing that we need to explain to people who are listening to this tonight is that. We're not going to change the world here.
Nope.
And so all of you people who put posts on message boards and send emails and things about how this is all a waste of time and you're not going to accomplish anything, we know that. We're doing it because we want to entertain you. Because you love this stuff. You love getting on the message board and bitching and complaining and moaning and griping about things. So we figured, why not just bring it out live on the Internet so you can actually listen to it.
Jack, you know why I want to do it this way?
Why you want to do it?
Because I don't type as good as these guys.
Yeah.
I'm slow. I got like two fingers. I don't have any time.
That's it.
I don't type well. So I've always done it on the radio. I've enjoyed doing it on the radio. Oh, you're bad. You're bad.
No, he's just thinking, I'm senile. That's what that's all about.
And another thing that I would be remiss if I didn't mention is that I know that the general manager of Fast Car is here with us, Don Nerone. But the marketing director for Fast Car wanted to make sure that we got the point across, so I got to do it, was that the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily
the opinions of Fast Car.
So there you go, Terry. We said it. There it is.
Is Terry nervous?
I don't know.
He must be.
He works with you, man.
And I would imagine Robert Hart would almost say the same thing.
Robert would come over and sit right over there with a big smile on his face and look through his sunglasses.
Well, I'm sure Don
would giggle every now and then.
I'm sure Don will tell us something about what Robert would say, but towards the end of the show, I'll tell you what he told me today, and I'll save that till later.
All right. Anyway, you guys starting to get a little more comfortable? I mean, with the whole situation, what we're doing, and what we're talking about.
So, Jerry, when did you
turn on both your microphones and leave them on for a second?
Yeah, just leave them on.
Talk.
So, okay. Jerry, when did you first start coming on to like this Karnak.com message board thing and putting your two cents in?
I would guess probably about 2000 or so. 2001, somewhere in that area. I just kind of found it by accident. I figured there might be something out there that covers the Florida stuff. So I went to Yahoo or whatever and just typed in Florida Stock Car Racing, and your site popped up.
2000.
Yeah, put it in
trouble.
Favorites. I've been there ever since.
I gotcha.
Oh, we now got some long-term people.
When you first came across this, was the message board that what attracted you or got you coming back, or was it news, photographs? What was it that got you?
It was kind of an outlet to voice my opinions about different things and maybe share some of my travels and experiences and that kind of thing.
What were the?
It wasn't meant to be a target of any sort.
What tracks did you travel to the most? Which general ones? Yeah, the waiter's going to have to wait. He can't interrupt you.
Yeah, we just got interrupted by
the waiter,
but that's okay.
Yeah. But what tracks did you frequent in those early days, the 2000, so to speak, and so forth?
Oh, and during 2000, pretty much everything that was around.
Did you go all the way to Charlotte County, or did you stick pretty much to Orlando and so
forth?
Yeah,
I would go to Charlotte County. I would go to Columbia, Jacksonville.
Wow.
Golden Isle Speedway.
Shit, last year he went to five tracks in 1 week up in Pennsylvania or somewhere and wrote some stories about it, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, actually, what I did is I went to four different tracks in four consecutive days in four different states over a Memorial Day weekend and had a hell of a lot of fun.
Did you follow the same
group? Lot of fun.
The Erie Speedway?
No, it wasn't. I went up there last year for a wedding, actually, and while I was in town, they had an ARCA race Lake Erie Speedway.
If you haven't seen it yet, if you ever get a chance, Lake Erie Speedway. Now, there's a guy I met him about a year ago. Name is Don, who wanted to have a racetrack in his town. And he spent $14 million building a 3/8-mile paved oval. It is the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in my
life. You can get a feel
for it. Probably the best racetrack I've seen in my life.
You can get a good feel for it if you go to LakeErieSpeedway.com. There's a lot of photographs and really gives you the feeling for that place. And believe me, if you lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, you need a place like that because they call it Dreary Erie, the mistake on the lake. You know?
They're not getting a whole lot of support from race fans. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. But
that's a shame.
And
that's why it's
gorgeous.
And that's up there, right on the border, right in northeast, right near the Pennsylvania New York border.
And that's one of the things we'll get into later is about the fans and how to get them to keep them. Were you following one set group of cars those 4 days, or were there totally different things?
Well, I started out here on Friday. I believe it was a Southern Sportsman race that I came to here. And after that, it was Dirt Late Models for the following 3 days. I went to Cleveland, Tennessee on Saturday night, Rome, Georgia on Sunday, and Moulton, Alabama on Monday.
He was following the Budweiser truck. Rick, when did you first
the Bud truck was following me.
Rick Williamson, when did you run across Carnot?
2001, 2002.
Yeah.
You guys came down for a Dash for Cash, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Remember that?
Rick Angies and myself went down to
Auburndale
Speedway.
Because my brother was involved in that.
That was the first day I ever got thrown out at DeSoto Speedway. That was the first time I ever got thrown out.
That's why
Auburndale. We ended up there.
It wasn't the only time and probably won't be the last time.
It was the first time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's why they went.
How long is the list now, Jack?
Jack called me, I remember him saying, yeah, we were going to do that Dash for Cash next week, and I just got thrown out of the track. I said, well, you might as well just take it somewhere else.
So that's when you first heard of Carnac?
Right.
That's cool.
Jack, I made a promise to take it easy on Jerry, but there were no rules about you at all. I've been dying to get you in this position with a microphone for a long time. So
yeah.
Put a tag on his head up and says,
there you go.
Put a little tag on him
and
says, Bobby.
There you go.
But
this might turn into the rest of us against the media guys here.
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the things we figured might come up with a lot of media information stuff that we want to get into. But
so here's some of the things I've talked to Jack about. Like, you know, I accused him of the largest operator of the truck stop bathroom wall in the world here.
That's right.
And yeah, everybody reads it. When you go to a truck stop and you sit down in the bathroom, you know, and you're sitting there with nothing particularly to do, and you look at both the walls, and there's writing on the wall, and you can't help but read it. I mean, you got to admit, everybody reads it, and they got all these things written on the wall, and you look at all the stuff written on the wall. Now, you read it, it's entertaining, and you laugh, just like you read Carnac. But do you absolutely positively believe everything you read on the... No, we know better than that. I don't care what anybody says, Kilroy was not here.
No, no, in the bathroom wall thing, that's funny because that has become a little saying all around Florida. I mean,
see what I did for you?
People
I did
refer for you? To it as the bathroom wall. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, there's the guy at USA International Speedway still refers to it as the bathroom wall.
Who, Billy?
And deservedly so in a lot of respects.
Billy doesn't totally enjoy some of the things that we enjoy.
No.
He's tried very, very hard to become very professional in his job, and I don't think that the message boards is the place that he goes to get too much information about his racetrack.
No, not at all. In fact, we'll make that point later about the media, some of the tracks and stuff, and some of the things that we see that think we could help out in the long run and so forth. And I don't know if they'll ever take it.
On the other hand, you've got an old friend in Lakeland that is with the media, who's retired now, John Barker, who reads it regularly.
Oh, yeah.
And puts his 2 cents worth in all the time. And he likes to see media reporting done properly, doesn't he, John?
The old codger.
Old school.
The old codger.
Old school.
Yep. Yep, he likes to see it done right.
That's how I actually met John because I wrote an editorial that was, for some strange reason, I decided to write a little editorial piece that defended J.T. Beard from the attacks of John Barker. And I called John an old codger in the article. And then Don Nerone introduced me to him at New Smyrna one night before a race. And you coyly sort of brought him over and said, Jack, do you know this guy?
I'll do that to you a couple of times. And then I sneak out. I did that.
And then he left.
I did that with you and Dick Anderson one time. You remember that one?
Yeah, John.
Hey, Dick, this is Jack. Yeah. Jack, this is Dick. I eased on out of the way.
Yeah, John and I then had a pretty good conversation. And since we talk all the time, and he's been very helpful to me in a lot of ways.
Well, I hope you guys are ready to go because we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to get full scale into it. So don't go away, folks. We will be right back with more of the Bithlow Summit.
You're listening to Short Track America with co-hosts Bill Green and Jack Smith.